الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will have class number 8 of the series of classes of the purification of the heart. And the title of the class is, Let Us Enjoy What Is Right. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the characteristics of the believing hearts from surah number 9, verse number 71. And as we mentioned last week, these characteristics are to be a helper and supporter of each other, to enjoy what is right and to forbid what is wrong, to attend the prayers and to obey the charity, and to obey Allah and His Messenger. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about the ideal relations between the believers as supporters and the helpers of each other. Last week, we learned about the rights of sisterhood or Muslimhood, and these are spreading peace through saying, Peace be with you, Assalamu alaikum, smiling when meeting other sisters, avoid harming other sisters, humbleness and modesty in dealing with other sisters, treating sisters with best manners. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the rights of the sisterhood, and number one regarding today is that one should not forsake her sister for over 3 days. As Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, Let not any of you desert his brother more than 3 days. Then they meet and each of them turns away from the other, but the best of the two is the one who starts with the salutation of peace, that is to say, Assalamu alaikum. In another hadith, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, Don't exchange hatred, envy, or forsaking. For every Muslim is a brother to other Muslim. Thus, he should not wrong him nor surrender him. And whoever walks to fulfill the needs of other Muslims, Allah will attend his needs. Again, sisters, in this hadith, we are learning a very important rule in Islam is that when we have different points of view with other Muslims, we feel that, you know, we are not in a good mood with each other, we are not supposed to desert other Muslims more than 3 days. The meaning is that if I am not in a good mood, for example, with Erica, and then I meet her by chance in the masjid or in the mall, I am not supposed to turn away from her. I am supposed to say to her, Assalamu alaikum, and this is the message that there is peace between us, and let us forget about, you know, the conflict between us. So it is not accepted that the relation between the Muslims, you know, will be completely destroyed or ended because of the conflict or the different points of view. We must all the time keep good relations, and if sometimes there is a misunderstanding, we must try actually to forget it and to keep our relation good and not to forsake a Muslim more than 3 days. Also from the rights of the Muslims is that not to enter upon a Muslim house without his permission. We will read now from Surah An-Nur, verse number 24, verse number 27. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها ذلكم خير لكم لعلكم تذكرون
O you who believe, Enter not houses other than your own until you have asked permission and greeted those in them. That is better for you in order that you may remember.
Actually, sisters, Allah is teaching us that homes are places of comfort where people may relax and enjoy privacy and reassurance. At home, people don't feel the need to be cautious. And the rule in Islam is that no one may enter a home without its occupier knowledge and permission. And also at the time that the occupier choose, and also in the manner they like. Why? We can ask the question, O Allah, why we are not supposed to enter the houses except with a permission or after getting a permission? Because when you go into the other people's homes without first seeking permission, you may see them in situation they want to keep private. This is number one. Or you may see what arouses desire or error or open the way to error. For example, you know, you can enter the house, you know, while, you know, the Muslim wife is not putting full Islamic dress, okay? And this is not accepted, okay? Or while you might enter the house and you don't know that those people are, you know, drinking wine, okay? They are hiding this. But when you enter without a permission, suddenly, okay, you may see what they want to hide. And in Islam, we are supposed to respect the privacy of the people. Okay? In the pre-Islamic days in Arabia, visitors used to enter a home and then announce themselves. It could be that inside, a man may be with his wife in a position they don't want anyone to see. Or that the man or woman were undressed. All this used to hurt people and deprived them a sense of security at home. Furthermore, when visitors saw charm and beauty, temptation may be strong. For all such reasons, Allah the All-Knower laid down the requirement to observe fine manners, making it necessary for a Muslim to announce himself and greet the people inside before entering. This establishes a friendly atmosphere right from the first moment. As a complete code for human life, the Quran emphasizes this point of detail in social life because it aims to regulate life in all its aspects. The first Muslim community to be addressed by the Quran clearly understood such rules and their purpose. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the first to implement them so that all Muslims will learn and apply these rules. A companion of the Prophet, peace be upon him, reports, a man asked permission to enter the Prophet's home, saying, "Can I enter?" The Prophet, peace be upon him, said to his servant, "Go to this man and teach him to seek permission. Tell him to say, 'Assalamu alaikum, may I come in?'" So you must say first, "Assalamu alaikum," and then, "May I come in?" The man overheard the Prophet and said exactly that. The Prophet, peace be upon him, gave him the permission and he entered. The Prophet, peace be upon him, taught his companions how to approach someone else's home, saying, "If you come towards a home, don't face the door straight, but stand to the right or to the left and say, 'Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum.'" At that time, there were no screens on the doors, you know, the eye to see who is outside. And because of that, you are supposed to keep on saying, "Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum," until they recognize their voice. Then they decide for you to enter or not. And also, you are not supposed to stand, you know, just in front of the door because, you know, maybe he will open the door and you will see something inside the house. You are supposed to stand either to the right or to the left so that you cannot see anything from the inside of the home. A man came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and stood facing the door, seeking permission. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said to him, "Move this way or that way, because permission is sought before a person looks in." The prophet cousin who was a knowledgeable scholar was asked by a man, "Should I seek permission before entering when only my orphan sisters are at home, considering that I look after them and they live with me in the same home?" He said, "Yes." "Do you want to see your sisters undressed?" You must say, you know, "Assalamu alaikum," and you must seek permission. Again, sisters, even if you are entering your own home, you must say "Assalamu alaikum" before entering the home. Suppose now I am returning back home and my daughters are at home, okay? And I have the key. I am supposed not just to open the door, I am supposed to knock and to say "Assalamu alaikum" and then to open by the key. You know, because you don't know, maybe one of the daughters is undressed, you know, and it will not be good. But basically these are the rules in Islam. Try to seek permission even if you are entering your own home, you know. And actually, you know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, prohibited a man from entering his own home unannounced, so surprising his wife. You know, and this is what I mean. For example, suppose my husband left 8 o'clock in the morning telling me that he will come at 6 p.m. Okay? And then he decided to return at 3 o'clock. Okay? So he is supposed to knock on the door and to say "Assalamu alaikum" and then to open by the key. Okay? He must announce that he will enter the home. Okay, because again, you know, this will is related, you know, to the feeling of privacy. Okay, suppose, you know, I want my husband all the time to see me in my best shape. Suppose, you know, while my husband was in his work, I was dyeing my white hair. Okay, and you know, when you dye your hair, you will when you look to the mirror, you will be in a very bad shape, and you don't want your husband to come while you are dyeing your hair. You know, this is to prove that, you know, he is supposed to announce before entering the home. Okay, this is, you know, the reason. There are always deep reasons, you know, for these rules. Okay, such refined manners were characteristic of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions after Allah has taught them the Islamic way. Today, however, we find that such fine considerations are largely meaningless, despite our being Muslims. A woman may just turn up at her sister's door at any time of the day or night, knocking hard and caring little for disturbing the people inside until the door is open. She will keep on knocking until the door will be open. Okay? In spite of the fact that nowadays most people have phones. Okay? So the phone provides an excellent way of seeking permission to visit before starting out. But people simply don't take such steps. And you see, when we learn these manners of Islam, we will learn that we will be questioned about these manners. You know, if I am planning to visit anyone, even my daughter, I must give her a phone call telling her that I am in my way, not I am in front of the door. You know, I am in my way to your house, so are you ready to welcome me, or you are busy, or it is not the suitable time, you know? And I am not supposed to be upset if she will tell me, you know, for example, now my husband is still at home, he didn't go to work, so if you can be late 1 or 2 hours, this will be better. I am supposed to appreciate this, you know, because this is the rules of Islam. And when she will meet me, okay, or she will welcome me at her home, she will be in a good mood, because I come in the proper time. Okay? We are certainly Muslims, but we surprise our friends at any moment, even at meal times. But if we are not invited to the meal, we may feel offended. Also, we may even surprise them late at night. And if they don't invite us to stay the night, we are offended. We allow our hosts no excuses either way. You know, sisters, and this is totally wrong, you know, in the sight of Allah. We must follow the rules of Islam. I must seek permission all the time before entering any home. And so long, all praise to Allah, we have the phones. This is the best way for seeking the permission. And actually, we are not following, you know, because we are neglecting the Islamic manners, okay, we don't have, you know, the good relations together. Because some people, they got very upset when someone will knock at any time and insist to come in. Okay, this is not good. Okay, and actually, I have a friend of mine, you know, and she was very upset with one of her neighbors because her neighbor has the habit to knock and at any time, and if she will not be welcomed in, she will be very upset. You see? And, you know, most of the people don't change their manners. Okay? These are the Islamic manners. Okay? The reality is that in the non-Muslim communities, okay, the social traditions are closer to the values and the manners which Islam wants us to adopt. When you come to the West, these are the social traditions. None will allow you in the house except when you have a permission. Okay? So we must always realize that in the Quran, Allah mentioned all the good manners. But we don't follow the good manners of Allah, which are mentioned in the Quran, but we follow the manners of the, you know, of the communities in the West when we come to live in. You know, for example, in Egypt, we don't follow these rules. Many people, they don't follow it. But when they come to America, they will seek the permission. Okay? So we must always remember that, you know, we must follow the rules of Allah so that we will be rewarded. When you will seek the permission, obeying the commands of Allah, you will be rewarded. Okay, but if you seek the permission following the social traditions, you will not have the reward. Okay, the second or the next right of the sister is visiting the sick Muslims. On a Qudsi hadith indicating that Allah would say to His slaves on the Day of Judgment, My slave, I was sick. I will repeat this hadith. Hadith Qudsi means it is the words of Allah, but not in the Quran, in the hadith. Allah said, Allah would say to His slaves on the Day of Judgment, my slave, I was sick, and yet you didn't visit me. The slave would ask, how can I visit you when you are the Lord of the worlds? Allah would answer, did you know that my slave so and so fell ill or was ill? Don't you know that had you visited him, you would find me with him? Actually, sisters, Allah is encouraging us Muslims to visit each other during illnesses, promising that He will reward us a great reward for this. Okay, and again, sisters, visiting the sick sisters, okay, is a proof that you are looking for the reward of Allah, and is a proof that we are helpers and supporters to each other, and is a proof that you have a good heart. So always try, you know, to get the benefit of this opportunity, and whenever you know that there is a sister whom she is sick, be in a hurry to visit her, and Allah, inshallah, will reward you a lot. The next right of sisterhood is fulfilling one's promises. This means that, you know, when I promise, for example, to come to the class at 12 o'clock, this is a promise. Okay, I must fulfill my promise. I am not supposed to cancel the class without informing any sister. And then when the sister will tell me, Sister Mona, we come, I will tell them, I am sorry. Then after 3 or 4 weeks, I will come very late. And the sister are already waiting for me for a long time. Then I tell them, I am sorry. If I have a promise, this is an example of the promises. If I have a promise, I must fulfill the promise because it is a responsibility and Allah will question me about it. And it is the same if I promise, for example, my husband that I will take care of my kids in the best shape while he is traveling, and then After he will leave, you know, I will not take care of them, and I will say to myself, he is not around and he doesn't know anything. Actually, sister, this is again the belief in the oneness of Allah, because Allah is with every one of us by his knowledge. Allah hears everything. Allah records everything. So I am supposed to feel that so long I am a believer, that Allah is with every one of us all the time by his knowledge. So I am fulfilling my promises to Allah. My promises are not with the human beings. My promises are with Allah, the Almighty, so I must fulfill my promises all the time, or don't promise. If you are not sure that you will fulfill your promise, don't promise, because you will be questioned about your promise. Now, inshallah, we will read from Surah number 13, verse number 19 and 20, to know about the importance of fulfilling the promises. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يعلم أنما أنزل إليك من ربك الحق كمن هو أعمى إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب الذين يوفون بعهد الله ولا ينقضون الميثاق.
Shall he then who knows what has been revealed to you, O Muhammad, from your Lord is the truth, be like him who is blind? But it is only the men of understanding that pay heed. Those who fulfill the covenant of Allah and break not the miktaq, bond, treaty, or covenant.
Okay. Allah the Almighty is clarifying, sister, that we must fulfill the covenant of Allah and not to break it. We will read also from Surah number 17, verse number 34, to know about the importance of fulfilling the promises, so that inshallah we will always fulfill our promises. Number 17, verse number 34. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم إلا بالتي هي أحسن حتى يبلغ أشده وأوفوا بالعهد إن العهد كان مسؤولا.
And come not near to the orphan's property except to improve it until he attains the age of full strength, and fulfill every covenant. Verily, the covenant will be one questioned about.
Okay, so you see, sisters, again, Allah will question us about our covenant and about our promises, so inshallah we must fulfill them. We will know more about the rights of the sisterhood. One of them is that saying, may Allah bless you, to anyone who sneezes. So whenever any sister sneezes, you must tell her, may Allah bless you. Okay? Actually, sister, these are the rights of the sisterhood, and the last right is that attending the funeral prayer and answering the invitations. Whenever any sister will invite you, you know, for a wedding or a dinner or whatever, you know, if you can go, you can promise her to go, inshallah. Try all the time to answer the invitations and to attend the funeral prayer. Okay, these are the rights of the sisterhood, and now we will continue to learn about the second characteristic of the believing hearts in verse number 71, Surah number 9. Now we will read Surah number 9, verse number 71, to learn about the second characteristic of the believing heart, which you will learn it, inshallah, in detail. Okay. Surah number 9, verse number 71. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم.
The believers, men and women, are awliya, helpers, supporters, friends, protectors of one another. They enjoined on the people al-maruf, Islamic monotheism, and all that Islam orders one to do, and forbid people from al-munkar, polytheism and disbelief of all kinds, and that all Islam has forbidden. They perform as-salat, Ikamat as-salat, and give the zakat, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah will have mercy on them. Surely Allah is Almighty, All-Wise.
Okay, sisters. Over the last class and this class, we learn about the first characteristics of the believing hearts, which is that they are helpers, supporters, and protectors of one another. The second characteristic, which is mentioned in this verse of the Quran, is that they enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. Okay, and actually, sister, this is very important in Islam. Okay, why it is very important? Because Allah teach us about the importance of that rule in Surah number 3, verse number 110. To know the importance of enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil, we will read from Surah number 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse number 110. Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You are the best of peoples ever raised up for mankind. You enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. Okay? So again, sisters, Allah is clarifying that Muslims are supposed to be the best of the people ever raised up for mankind on one condition, when they enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. What is the meaning of this, sister? To enjoin what is good means to obey all the rules of Allah. Okay? And to forbid what is evil is to be away from all what Allah commanded us to not to do. Okay? So the meaning of this, to enjoin what is good and to forbid what is bad, is that to do all the rules of the Islam according to the commands of Allah. So what is good, I will follow. What is bad or evil, I will be away from it. Okay? And also, I will call the people for this. Okay? We must call the people to enjoin, call the Muslims, okay? Because these are the Islamic rules. We must call all the Muslims to enjoin what is good and to forbid what is evil. So the question will be, every Muslim has the duty to call everyone for what is evil, to call everyone for what is good and to forbid what is evil? No. Not every Muslim has, you know, this duty. It is not the duty of every Muslim, basically. Okay? It is the duty of a special group of people to call the people, or to call the Muslim to enjoin what is good and to forbid what is evil. For example, this class. In this class, I am calling the sisters to enjoin what is good and to forbid what is bad. Okay? Why? Because I must have knowledge. Okay? If I don't have the knowledge of what is good and what is evil, how I will call the people, you know, to enjoin the good and to forbid the evil, in spite of the fact I don't know what is the good and what is the evil. So, it is the duty of a group of people to call, you know, the Muslims to enjoin what is good and to forbid what is bad. And actually, this rule is mentioned in the Quran in the same surah, surah number 3, verse number 104. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ.
Let there arise out of you a group of people inviting to all that is good, Islam, enjoining al-ma'ruf, the Islamic monotheism, and all that Islam orders one to do, and forbidding al-mukar, polytheism and disbelief, and all that Islam has forbidden, and it is they who are the successful.
Okay. So now, sisters, first we will know about the characteristic of everyone who enjoins what is good and forbids what is evil. Again, it is not everyone can have this duty, okay, because there are some characteristics for that person. Number one, the sincerity, okay, the intention for calling the people to enjoin what is good and to forbid what is bad must be only for the sake of Allah. Okay, it must not be for the showing off, okay, or for fighting for a position or for money. Okay, there are some people whom they are calling for the people to enjoy what is good and to forbid what is bad, and they are getting, you know, money for this. This is not accepted in Islam. There must be the sincerity, and the intention must be only for Allah. Number two, it must be, that person must have the knowledge of the rules of Islam. If this knowledge is not present, then enjoying what is good and forbidding what is bad will be based on desires. Okay? I will give you an example for this, so that we can realize the importance of having the knowledge before calling on the people to enjoy what is good and forbid what is bad. For example, a husband, when a husband will decide to spend very little on his family, in spite of the fact he is rich. And then when his wife will ask him, why you are spending very little on us while you are very rich? Okay, he will tell her, because the believers must forget about the enjoyment of the worldly life. You see how he is twisting the rules of the Quran. As believers, we must forget about the worldly life. So I am helping you and my kids to forget about the worldly life. So I will not spend on you anything. You will live very poor life. This is totally wrong. Okay? He doesn't know the rules of the Quran. Okay? Because in Islam, Allah the Almighty allows the believer to enjoy the worldly life in moderation. And according to the income. Okay? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a good amount of money, you have the right to enjoy the worldly life so long you are following the rules of Allah, you are not doing anything forbidden by Allah, and you enjoy the worldly life in moderation. Okay? But that husband is twisting the rules for his desire to spend a little and to accumulate a big bank account. Okay? And because of that, not everyone is supposed to call people to enjoy what is good and what is evil if he doesn't have the real and the true knowledge of the rules of Allah. Number three, kindness and wisdom. Okay, you must be kind and you must have wisdom when you decide to call the people to enjoy what is good and to forbid what is evil. We will read now about that character from Surah number 16, verse number 125. And actually, sister, this is very important. I can't be tough when I give advices to the sisters, okay? And actually, I will clarify to you more after we will read this verse of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Idu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idati al-hasana. وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين.
Invite mankind, O Muhammad, peace be upon you, to the way of your Lord, Islam, with wisdom, with the divine revelation and the Quran, and fair preaching, and argue with them in a way that is better. Truly, your Lord knows best who has gone astray from his path, and he is the best knower of those who are guided.
So, sisters, we must know that approaching people for guidance and advice must be taken with wisdom. That is to say, number one, you must take into consideration the situation and the circumstances of the people. For example, I am not supposed, you know, to say to a revered sister whom she just become a Muslim 6 months ago, sister, why you are not putting the head cover? Sister, why you are not learning the Quran? Sister, why you are not praying, you know, with sincerity? Sister, what is this? Sister immediately will leave all the Islam because of me, because I don't have the wisdom and the kindness. Okay? You must know the situation of the people and the circumstances of the people. If no one is teaching her anything, if she becomes a Muslim because her husband pushed her to become a Muslim, so still, you know, she doesn't have the true belief in her heart. So you must take the people step by step. Okay, number one, she must know the message of Islam. Then she must realize the mercy of Islam. Then she must become close to the Lord, the one, O Allah, the most merciful. Then gradually, she must be the one gradually to tell you, let me learn about the prayer, which is the most important after a shahada. Then when she will learn the prayer and she will come close to Allah, she will start to read the Quran in English. Okay, to know the message. When she knows the message, you can tell her, sister, you want to become closer to Allah. There are some rules in Islam. Okay, try to follow these rules. Okay, gradually, step by step. Because the human spirit cannot be pushed to one direction. Okay, one push. Because it happens always that the opposite will happen. As you push the sisters quickly for all the rules of Islam, they forget about all the rules also quickly. And both of them are wrong sisters, okay? So you must be wise and you must be kind. You must give the spirit the time to accept, you know, all the changes. There are a lot of changes, big changes. You are not supposed to communicate with the men. You are not supposed to backbite. You are not supposed, you know, to be late at night. You are supposed to treat your husband in a good way. You are a mother and take care of your kids. Don't drink wine. Don't eat pork. Don't, you know, I cannot, you know, just give the sisters a list, you know, of duties, and then if she will not follow all the lists, I will tell her, Allah will punish you. Allah will throw you in the hellfire, eternal. Excellent. Salaamu alaikum. You know, and actually, I saw many sisters, you know, whom they were pushed in this way, and unfortunately, they left Islam. They said Islam is a very difficult religion and we cannot follow it. And Allah will question that sister whom, you know, she was tough when she was calling to Allah. When you call to Allah, you must realize the circumstances of the people. You must realize, you know, that the duties in Islam, you know, maybe they are not familiar with them. So you must be kind and you must be wise so that inshallah, gradually with the help and the mercy of Allah, Allah will help them and arrange for them the circumstances, inshallah, to follow the duties. And at the beginning and at the end, Allah is the most merciful. So long they have the good intention, so long they are trying their best, inshallah, Allah will help them and will support them. So we are not supposed, you know, when we call to Allah to be tough or actually to give the sisters a long list of duties and also not to make the things appear difficult for them. You know, I am not supposed to tell you, no, sister, it will be very difficult for you to follow the rules of Islam. It is not an easy religion at all, sister. I must tell you the truth from the beginning. Okay? So, as a human being, in, you know, during the time which you are living in now, which is actually the time of corruption, you will tell me, Sister Mona, okay, thank you very much. It will be difficult for me. You have the decision. You guide me to be away, you know. So this is wrong, sisters. We must all the time feel, you know, the feelings of the others. If it is not easy for me and I am a born Muslim, what about the reverse sister, whom she doesn't have the knowledge, whom she doesn't have the language, whom she doesn't have the company, whom she doesn't have the community? You know, it is supposed to be very difficult for her. So we are supposed to be, you know, very kind, and we must approach others in a kind manner. We must respect the dignity of the people and to avoid personal criticism, especially the public advices. Okay, I am not supposed, for example, to meet Erica in the mall and tell her, Erica, oh, in a very loud voice, what is this? Where is your head cover? You are acting in the masjid. You are coming with a cover in the masjid. And now in the mall, you are a hypocrite. You are not a good Muslim. Allah will punish you. What is this? What is this, sister? This means that, you know, I don't know anything about Islam. If I realize that Islam is the religion of mercy, and I meet Erica while she's putting a short in the gallery, I will tell her, Salamu alaykum. Number one, I can turn my face as if I didn't see her, so that she will not feel shy that I saw her wearing a short, you know. Or, if I am broad-minded, very kind-hearted. I will hug her and tell her, my dearest, you know, Erica, I'm very happy to meet you. MashaAllah, assalamu alaikum. And that's it, you know, but actually I feel it is better not to tell her anything and to move away. Because, you know, sometimes you say words with your mouth and your eyes will give different impression. So for those whom they call to, they must be patient. They must have patience. Enjoying what is good and forbidding what is evil can cause some harm, as people basically hate advices. And so one must be patient and forgiving, as his duty is only for the sake of Allah. Again, sisters, and actually, you know, this is from my personal experience with calling the people or the sister to enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. Actually, I have some problems with some sisters, you know. Sometimes, you know, they are not happy with the rules, so they become upset with me, as if I am the one saying the rules, you know, it is not my rules. But actually, I learn, you know, to be patient and actually to be, you know, forbearing and to forgive, you know, because you realize that maybe, you know, they cannot follow the rules, so they are frustrated, so they don't know what to do. Okay, but so long your intention is for the sake of Allah, you try to find excuses for the sister so that we can keep the good relations between each other. And you must believe that every one of us, you know, is always having difficult time in life. Maybe that sister is having very difficult time in her life and she's coming to the class very upset and she will be upset with me, you know. So I realize that it is out of her hand that she is upset. And, you know, you know, if you want to be actually a true believer in the oneness of Allah, you must be having this character, to be patient all the time with everything, with your husband, with your kids, with the sisters, with your actually worshipping of Allah, with the learning of the Quran, with everything. You must be patient. And let us learn the wise man Luqman, how he advised his son to be patient regarding enjoying what is good and forbidding what is evil. Verse 31, verse number 17. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya bunayya aqim al-salah wa'amur bil-ma'roof وانهى عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور.
O my son, aqim as-salat, perform as-salat, enjoin on people al-maruf, Islamic monotheism and all that is good, and forbid people from al-munkar, disbelief in the oneness of Allah, polytheism and all kinds and all that is evil and bad. And bear with patience whatever befalls you. Verily, these are some of the important commandments ordered by Allah with no exemption.
You see, sister, so his father, the father is advising his son to enjoy what is good and to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To enjoy what is good and to forbid what is evil, but to be patient. Okay, what is the meaning of be patient? It means that some harm will come because of this calling, okay, because people doesn't like advices, okay, but still, so long it is for the sake of Allah, he must be patient. The last characteristic of those whom they call to Allah is that, sister, you must be doing what you are ordering the people to do, and you must refrain from what you are ordering the people to refrain. What is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning is that I am not supposed to tell you, my dearest sisters, I want you all the time to pray the prayers on time. Sisters, if you don't pray the prayers on time, this is not good in Islam. Sisters, Allah will punish you if you don't pray the prayers on time. And then you notice that, you know, for example, I was invited by one of you and the Maghrib prayer comes and I didn't pray, and the Isha prayer comes and I didn't pray. So this means that I am calling on the people to enjoy what is good and I am not doing it. And I am calling on the people to forbid what is evil and I am not doing it. The same when I tell you, sister, backbiting is a big sin in Islam and Allah will punish those sisters whom they are backbiting other sisters. And all the time, sisters, for the sake of Allah, don't backbite any sister. And then you notice that I will have my phone will ring and I will start, no, she is so and so and so and so. And I am backbiting in the same way. Allah will punish me to the extent you can't imagine, more than any other sisters. Why? Because I am calling the sisters, you know, for a good manner, and I am not doing it. So I am a very bad example. You see? And when someone will ask Erica, for example, Sister Erica, why you are backbiting sister? She will tell, because Sister Mona, the one who is giving us the class, is also backbiting. In spite of the fact, she taught us not to backbite. If Sister Mona is not following the rule, why I will follow the rule? You see? So I will be punished for my sin and your sin. And all the things, if you say to all the sisters in Houston about what I did, I will be punished for all of them. This is how it is very critical to call people to enjoy what is good and forbid what is evil. You must be the role model. If you cannot be the role model, be away from this duty. Because the question on the Day of Judgment will be very critical for those people whom they are calling to enjoy what is good and to forbid what is evil. And we will read about that meaning from Surah number 61, verse number 2 and 3. الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون.
O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Most hateful it is with Allah that you say that which you do not do.
So you see, sisters, this is how it is very important when you call for something good, you must be the first one to do. Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, a man will be brought on the day of resurrection and will be cast into the hell. The inmates of the hell will gather around him and say, what has happened to you, O so and so? Were you not enjoying us to do good and forbidding us to do evil? He will reply, I was enjoying you to good, but was not doing it myself, and I was forbidding you to do evil, but I was doing it myself. You see, sisters, so you must remember that before calling people to enjoy what is good and forbid what is evil, remember and start by yourself. This is regarding calling the people to enjoy what is good and to forbid what is evil. Okay? But in Islam, there is another, type of calling to enjoy good and to forbid evil. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is explained in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which I will mention it to you now. Prophet, peace be upon him, said, whoever among you witnesses an evil, let him change it with his hand. If he is unable, then let him change it with his tongue. If he is unable, then let him change it with his heart, and this is the weakest faith. What is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning of this, sister, this is different category from the first one. The first one is calling the people to enjoy what is good and to forbid what is evil, and this is for a group of people whom we know their characteristics. But basically, in Islam, whenever you witness an evil, okay, you must change it. What is the meaning of change it? For example, I will give you an example. You must change it first with your hand, if you cannot, with your tongue, And if you cannot with your heart, and this is the weakest faith. For example, if I notice that a sister is coming to the masjid and she is putting a short dress, okay? And, you know, this is not the dress for the masjid, because in the masjid you must be covered, because it is the place of worship of Allah. So, this is an evil. So I must try to change it, either with my hand or with my tongue or with my heart. Okay? So if I know the sister personally, I will just get for her, for example, a head cover or anything, and tell her, sister, for the sake of Allah. If I know her personally, okay, I will tell her for the sake of Allah. Maybe you don't know, in a very kind, nice way, you know, this is the place of worship of Allah, so please try to cover yourself, because this is not good in the house of Allah. This is number one. This is with my, you know, hand, because I already gave her, you know, a piece of material or whatever to cover herself. Or I can change it with my tongue. What is the meaning of this? Still, in a very kind and nice way, and if I realize or I decide that that sister, inshallah, will accept my words, okay, I will change it with my tongue. I will take her aside and tell her, mashallah, you are a very good Muslima, you are coming to the masjid to worship Allah, but maybe you don't know the rules. You know, this is not accepted in the masjid to have, you know, this very short dress, okay? So please try to cover yourself, or you can go home and return again, because Allah will not accept worshipping, you know, with this dress in the masjid. This is the second, you know, option. The third one is that I will look to the sister. I don't know her. And I notice that, you know, she's not the kind of the sisters whom she will accept the advice in a nice way. So I will just tell inside my spirit, this is totally wrong. I don't accept this. Okay, and this is the weakest faith. The weakest faith is that I was not able to make the change with my hand or with my tongue, so I don't accept it. Still, I don't accept the, you know, the evil. And you know, sisters, we must have this character all the time. If you cannot make the change with your hand or with your tongue, okay, don't accept the evil, because you will do it one day. Okay? Because this is the command of Allah. You must forbid what is evil. Okay, so if I can say it to the people, okay, I will say it in myself, so that myself will be, or my spirit will be all the time aware that this is evil, this is forbidden, we must be away from this, okay? This is the psychological, you know, a basic for this advice is to forbid it, you know, with your heart. To forbid it with your heart means that you are reminding your heart, you are reminding yourself, okay, you are renewing your belief that this act is forbidden in Islam. So inside my heart I will say, this is totally wrong. Okay, and you know, sister, when you will say this, you will feel that all praise to Allah. I am still aware of the rules of the Islam, and I am still trying to follow the rules of Islam. I am not supposed to enter the house of my relatives after seeking a permission, and they will invite me for a dinner, and the wine is on the table. Okay, and then they tell me, you don't want to drink wine, don't drink, but someone is drinking wine. Okay, so I have two options. Number one is to change. I will not change by my hand, because this is not my house. Okay, but I will change with my tongue if I can, and say, you know, in Islam this is not accepted. If they are my family members, okay, I will say, this is not accepted in Islam, but it is your right, okay, to drink or not. But you must know that as Muslims, we are not supposed to stay and to eat on a table where the wine is there. This is not accepted. Okay? Because in Islam, you are not allowed to carry it, to carry the wine, or to buy the wine, or to sell the wine, or to attend a table where the wine is there. Okay? It is the curse of Allah on those whom they do any of these actions. To buy it, or to sell it, or to drink it, or to attend where, you know, the wine, to attend, you know, any gathering where the wine, you know, is provided. Okay? So, I will say in my heart, if I try to say loudly, this is not accepted in Islam. If not, I will say it in my heart. Okay, then I will tell them, excuse me, I will eat on a side table. You can do whatever you like, but for me, you know, I forbid by my heart and I will not, you know, attend this table where the wine is provided. Why Allah is insisting for this sister to forbid what is evil by any means? Because before Islam, you know, people were not forbidding evil. This is none of my business. Okay? People are drinking wine, some of my family members, none of my business. So long I am not drinking, my husband is not drinking, my kids are not drinking, none of my business. I want my relation to be good with everyone. What happens is that Allah, the Almighty, sent His curse on all the people. Those whom they were doing the wrong and those whom they keep silent. Okay? Because you are not supposed to accept the evil. But in a nice way, either with your tongue or with your heart. But don't participate in anything which is forbidden by Allah, because one day you will do it. This is the punishment of Allah. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, by He in whose hand is my soul, this is Allah, He is swearing by Allah, you will enjoin righteousness and forbid evil, or Allah shall send down a punishment from Him to you. Then you will supplicate to Him, but He will not accept your supplication. You see, sisters, if I keep on telling to myself, this is none of my business, and I will not forbid evil, even by my heart, Allah will never accept my supplication. And to tell you the truth, sisters, acceptance of the supplication is a great gate of mercy from Allah to the believers. Okay? If I will not call on Allah to answer my supplication, whom I will call? Who will help me? How I will continue life, you know, with this very difficult situation? The believer, the true believer, cannot live the life if he is not sure that Allah will answer his supplication. So this means that Allah is sending a great punishment for those whom they don't enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. Okay, at least forbid what is evil by your heart, through your heart. You are not saying anything, but I don't like it. I don't accept it. Okay, sister, this is also very important. Now, inshallah, I will give an advice for every revert sister, okay, about the way to call her parents to Islam. Why? Because calling your parents to Islam or your relatives to Islam is part of enjoying what is good and forbidding what is evil. Okay? So every sister, revert sister, inshallah, can try according to the circumstances and in a kind way, as I clarify, and having the knowledge, inshallah, she can try to call her parents or her family members, okay, to Islam. Basically, the intention must be for Allah. When you call, you know, your family for Islam, your intention must be that you realize that the believers in the oneness of Allah will be the one in the paradise, and because you love them, you want them, inshallah, to be with you in the paradise. Number two, you must be patient and forbearing. Number three, don't be harsh with them, as they are your parents and they are elder than you. Okay? Number four, try to choose the right time for your conversation. Number five, watch out for times when they are in a good mood. Number six, seek the help of wise and sincere people. And number seven, do supplication to Allah to guide them to Islam. After doing all of this in the proper way, wait for Allah for the time which Allah planned for them. Okay? You are not supposed to say, I do the dua for them long time, you know, and now they must become Muslims. Why they didn't become Muslims? Okay, you are not supposed to do this. You are supposed to say, oh Allah, I did everything for them, and inshallah, one day they will become Muslims, and keep the relation with them in a good way. So long you have good relation with them, there is an opportunity to call them. Okay, but if you become tough with them or harsh with them, you know, you will never be able to call them and you will lose them forever. Okay, so inshallah, try to use these manners with your parents, and inshallah, Allah will help you, inshallah, to make them Muslims, and inshallah, now let us make the du'a. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.